What's so important?
Well, they're here.
The end times, kid. End times.
You know, even when ufologists like Jacques Vallée as well as Whitley Strieber, you know, they talk about these things being demonic. And Carla Turner, even Nigel Kerner talking about how these things are all completely fascinated with the human soul. And they were highly disturbed that a lot of the stuff that they were seeing were these rituals, satanic rituals were being carried out. Not only satanic rituals, but even human sacrifices. They have had reports of shadow people showing up out there. These are like 7-8 feet tall, and they talk about them actively running around on military bases. This is Chad Riley, and you're watching End Times Productions.
Buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
You've never heard anything like I have to tell you.
You're going to want to sit down for this.
It's about to get real dark in here.
So we're going to get into a whole lot of different categories today, but I promise you it's all going to come full circle, and we're going to tie this all together. There's an area called Area 2 that a lot of people are not very familiar with, but what is so, you know, what makes this place special? Well, one of the things that they do there is they house nuclear weapons. In Area 2, they actually have UFO craft that show up quite frequently. And, you know, that's interesting enough, but what's even more interesting is that they have had reports of shadow people showing up out there. And these aren't just, you know, like normal shadow people about the same size as you, but these are like 7-8 feet tall. And they talk about them actively running around on military bases.
On the outskirts of Las Vegas, an obscure part of the Nellis Air Force Base range, designated Area 2, has for decades been a reputed repository for nuclear warheads. As many as 200 nukes are said to be stored in Area 2's bunkers. Three layers of heavily armed Air Force security teams patrol the area 24/7, watching for any attempted intrusions.
So on two occasions, we had an alert that was called where there was unidentified flying object over Area 2.
This former security officer says intrusions didn't only happen in the sky. There were multiple incidents of bizarre shadow people seen in and around Area 2, including one dramatic incident from 1991 when security teams were on high alert.
This person was never found, you know, but the airman that had seen this person described them as being really tall, like 7 foot. And like I said, moving very fast. It was, you know, it was very strange.
So when I got there, I was straight security.
Another Area 2 security officer, Chris Cabrera, heard the stories of shadow people, but didn't know if they were real until he had his own encounter.
And when I turned around, there was this black mass form. I don't know what you would call it. It looked like I don't even know how to describe it. Like it looked like a person, but it didn't have definitive like shape of a head.
Like vague, like a mist or something.
No mist. It was black. It was like a dark blob.
It would seem that these shadow people have something of an historical occurrence.
Shadow people?
Shadow people.
Aliens, shadow people, hybrids, underground bases.
They're demons.
They're demons in human shape.
The next thing I want to hit on is UFO craft that actually are engaged in following nuclear weapons and nuclear vessels. This is another one that they don't really talk about, but they actually did, the military performed a test where they actively moved nuclear material, and it did it 18 times, and they wanted to see if each time that they did it, if UFOs would follow them from point A to B. And they did this 18 times, and 18 out of 18 times, the UFOs followed along.
I was told that there was an active program. It was an experiment, really, with nuclear-powered ships and carrying nuclear weapons, and they wanted to see if something would follow them. And they did it 18 times. And 18 out of 18, these objects tailed alongside. They just wanted to document that they're interested in nuclear stuff. 18 out of 18 times, it followed them.
So they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are actively stalking. In fact, in the film that I just recently did, which if you haven't seen, it's called Skinwalkers and Stranger Things of the Unseen Realm. I would highly suggest that you go and check that out. In fact, the first 9.5 minutes are on my YouTube page, which is True Seekers, one word, Research, the second word. So go look up True Seekers Research, and you can watch the first 9.5 minutes of the film for free. And I've got clips, pulled from different parts of the film as well, just so you can kind of get an idea of what you could expect.
After this, there is no turning back.
Things are about to get really bad.
What about the UFOs?
It's much worse than you think.
It's all connected.
There are no coincidences.
Now, another thing that here recently with this talk about the egg craft, I remember when the Nimitz incident took place and they were talking about the Tic Tac. And I was like, that seems vaguely familiar because I remember there was reports going all the way back to the 60s that were talking about these butane tanks. And they said that they were as long as telephone poles. So, you got that aspect where, it's like here's a craft that, in present day we're seeing that's being reported by pilots and it's performing maneuvers that they cannot, they can't match them. And, actively jamming their radars. It was incredible when you hear the story of David Fravor talking about what he encountered on that incident. But, same thing with these aircraft. It's like, people talk about the aircraft. It's like, do you not remember Mork and Mindy where, they were talking about all this? And, it was a comedy TV show back in the early 80s. So, it's like these craft are nothing new. Even the jellyfish craft that recently came out that Jeremy Corbell had footage of flying over a military base. That's nothing new. We've seen that, all the way back during the merry-go-round incident when the craft were buzzing Washington, D.C., and they were actively flying over the White House. This happened, 2 weekends in a row, back-to-back, over a two-week period. And every time they scrambled jets to intercept, they would get close enough to see them, and then they said they just blinked right out of existence.
You got massive energy readings out of nowhere, and then they just disappeared.
They just disappeared.
And then poof, gone.
But during the merry-go-round incident, there was an individual who actually said he was outside looking up at the sky one night, and he said he saw one of the jellyfish right overhead. And he said this thing was huge. He didn't know what to think about it, didn't really talk about it a whole lot because he, figured people would think he was cuckoo crazy, and I get it, especially back in the 1950s, it's like, when it came out here recently, people were like, a jellyfish, really? And I mean, when you see this thing, it's straight up, it looks like something out of Empire Strikes Back. The probe droids that crashed into the ice and were floating around looking for the rebel base. I mean, go look at that and compare the two. They look identical. It's not even funny. All right, Jay Stratton. Now, this guy's a very, very interesting individual. This is one of the guys that I've been talking about for a while. His name is Jay Stratton. And what I want to let you know about Jay Stratton is he is one of the key figures. This guy knows so much. It's not even remotely funny. This guy is part of Naval Intelligence. And when I bring Naval Intelligence up, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because, Arizona Wilder, she actually came out a long time ago and talked about how they were doing these satanic rituals on military bases.
There was programming bases. They used military bases because they won't have any interference when they have someone on a military base. And a lot of my programming took place on military bases. I would like to talk about the fact that there are rituals done at the military bases also, and that rituals are not a cover. The people that do the mind control are involved. And very rituals are very much a part of how they do things. For example, naval intelligence members or people that are in naval intelligence are usually very involved with Ordo Templi Orientis. And that doesn't mean that everyone in naval intelligence is involved in that. But naval intelligence is responsible for a lot of overseeing of ritual activity in this country.
That is disgusting.
It's satanic.
What is wrong with these people?
I'm telling you, these people are Satanists.
And one of the things that she said was not only doing these satanic rituals, but, you know, that naval intelligence is heavily involved with the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis. So you got the Ordo Templi Orientis mixed up, which, you know, if you know anything about OTO, that's, you know, Crowley and Jack Parsons and Hubbard. And, you know, why is that important? Well, that's important because what they were doing, the whole Babylon working ritual, I'm not even going to dive into all that, but, you know, if you know anything about the Babylon working ritual, this was an actual ritual that Crowley had performed years previously called the Amalantra working. Parsons took it, tweaked it, and came up with the Babylon working ritual, where they were trying to bring about the Whore of Babylon and to cause the end of the world to come upon us. Don't necessarily think he's done anything like that, but did he start something? Did he get a clock ticking? I don't know. Can't say. But we do know that the UFO wave kicked off after what they did. In fact, Kenneth Grant, who took over the Thelema after Aleister Crowley died, he boasted and bragged that it was a member of the OTO that had caused the great UFO flap of 1947. Actively bragged about it numerous times. So when you look at that and, you know, who these people are and what they're saying, I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt, but at the same time, you can't just completely dismiss it. And in fact, after they investigated Jack Parsons, he worked for Howard Hughes for a while, and he took classified documents, top secret documents, without permission, which launched an investigation into him. And when they recovered the documents, started looking into him, come to find out that he was, you know, part of this Thelema, was mixed up with Aleister Crowley, and Charles Taze Russell was the one who started the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he set a specific date that would start the end of the world. And when you look at that date, and when you look at when Jack Parsons was born, it's the same date. And so, you know, the more that they dug into Jack Parsons, the more disturbed they became. But it wasn't just Parsons, it was even Hubbard. And so this is where we're going to get into what Hubbard, you know, him and Scientology, a lot of people think this is like some cuckoo cult nonsense, but it's actually far more than that. Keep in mind who he worked with. He was part of Parsons. He was part of Aleister Crowley. He was part of Thelema. And so he is a Satanist. This guy was a Satanist and a black magician, performed ninth degree sex magic. You know, you don't just do stuff like that. You just decide, you know, I think I'm going to do ninth degree sex magic today. You know, that's something that you've been, you know, actively engaged in for a while. And like I said, it goes pretty dark, pretty deep. Here's the other thing that a lot of people don't really understand is that the Scientologists believe that they are going to be like superhuman, that they will become gods. So yeah, I mean, this is, very, very interesting. And like I said, you look at the video that caused Anonymous to go to war with Scientology. You know, there was a video that came out years ago where Tom Cruise was being Tom Cruise, and he was sitting there saying, you know, it's like, you know, when I drive by an accident, I know, you know, it's like I stop because I know I'm the only one. I'm the only one who can save them. I'm the only one who can help them.
Being a Scientologist, when you drive past an accident, it's not like anyone else. As you drive past, you know you have to do something about it because you know you're the only one that can really help.
You know, a lot of people found it humorous that he was, you know, talking like that, but that's what he believes. They believe that they are like gods. They believe they are superior to all of us. and they believe they're like Superman, X-Men, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this is what they believe.
All right, let's back up.
All right, this is going back to Jay Stratton, where we talked about, because I didn't finish talking about Jay Stratton. I think I got into his whole naval intelligence, and then we went off into all this. But anyways, back to Jay Stratton. This guy was over ATIP and OSAP. And so he wasn't just part of naval intelligence, but he was also the head of ATIP, OSAP. And he actually worked out at Skinwalker Ranch under Bigelow. So he's part of the NIDS and BASS team as well. And he's actually back out there now recently with one of his employees who actually works under him, which is Travis Taylor. And he's not the only person that worked under Jay Stratton or still actively does work under Jay Stratton. You got Lou Elizondo, which I know most of you out there probably know who Lou Elizondo is, as well as Dave Rush. So this guy is like... He knows a lot. This guy is holding a lot of the cards. And in fact, there's a documentary that's getting ready to come out. In this documentary, they actually have him on camera stating, for the record, that he's not only seen the craft, and we're not talking like photos and videos, he's actually seen the physical craft, but he's actually seen the non-human entities.
I have seen with my own eyes non-human craft and non-human beings.
Ew, creepy.
I mean, this dude is like super well connected.
He's working with them.
He's evil.
All right, so in our film Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes, we actually got into, or we actually met up with a pastor by the name of Ray Boucher. Ray Boucher was the one who actually met with the individuals, which a lot of people nowadays know as the Collins Elite. That wasn't an actual term that they refer to themselves. It was actually people in the Pentagon that gave them that name, people that Lou Elizondo and some of them have actually dealt with. But, you know, Ray Boucher just knew that they showed their credentials. You know, they were part of the Defense Intelligence Agency, part of the Pentagon. DOJ, all that, they were high ranking officials, and they approached Ray Boucher not only because he was a pastor, but because he also worked for MUFON. And they were highly disturbed that a lot of the stuff that they were seeing were these, rituals, satanic rituals were being carried out, not only satanic rituals, but even human sacrifices.
You were pretty heavily involved in the UFO community. Was it in the 90s?
Yeah, my greatest involvement was from the late 70s through the late 90s.
And what were you doing exactly? What was your mission?
It was an intellectual quest for me. Essentially, I was fascinated by the whole topic. I worked with NICAP early on. I had got a lot of contact with APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. And I ended up as a state section director and then a state director for MUFON for Nebraska. Worked with Citizens Against UFO Secrecy. I was on their board for a while. Just a number of various organizations that helped me to satisfy my own intellectual curiosity.
Now, when we think about this alleged group, the Collins Elite, I was under the impression from what I've heard, and again, this is why we're meeting, because I need to be able to separate the rumors from what actually took place.
Sure.
You were contacted by members of the Department of Defense.
Correct.
Can you walk me through what exactly took place, what you were told?
I was contacted by phone. The gentleman wanted to meet with me. He and a colleague said they wanted to meet with me. We arranged a time, met actually not far from here at another hotel here in Lincoln. They explained to me what was going on, the project with which they were involved, and their concerns that it was not only unethical and immoral, but that it was a program that was really connected with the demonic, with satanic forces. They described research into psychic phenomena, psychotronic weapons, the attempted perfection of an ability to kill people at a distance psychically with only the power of the mind. Numbers of things like that. They also mentioned the fact that some aspects of this had slipped into much the same thing as satanic worship in a way to connect, to contact what they referred to as NHEs, non-human entities. They didn't refer to them as aliens because they were certainly aware that these were, they, although they could manifest in a physical form, they were not, in the common sense, what we would think of as extraterrestrial. They would fall more into what John Keel termed ultra-terrestrials from some other dimension. And I would argue it's a spiritual dimension.
Within the heart of this living miracle of creation, science has begun to detect the presence of other dimensions of existence, living in parallel worlds to our own. That means in the space our solar system occupies, other solar systems can exist also on a different vibration. Whatever happens in this world has an influence on the other worlds to a certain degree.
They were summoning these things into our reality. So again, this is we're going to get into the whole thing about summoning here very shortly. But yeah, they are summoning these things into our reality. Now, what are they getting out of it? They're obviously getting something out of it, or they wouldn't be doing it. And, you know, there's talk about the whole thing with, what was it, Eisenhower and the Holloman Air Force Base, where he made contact with a craft and these entities, and that they had made a deal to exchange technology for something. We don't necessarily know what it was, but, you know, that's the story around the water cooler. So, and there are plenty of witnesses who were actually out there on the base when this all took place. I know several that I've seen and listened to that have talked about this. One guy was actually out working on one of the power lines because they put a order in place where nobody could move about the base. They said, wherever you're at, stay where you're at, do not move. And this guy was out on one of the power lines doing something, and he said he actually saw the craft come over the horizon, over the mountain. He said this thing came down the mountain, and as it got closer, he said it split into two. And he saw Air Force One sitting out on the taxiway. It had not come, it had not stayed right where it landed. And it was sitting out there at the end of the taxiway. He said that this craft, or both of these craft, they flew over Air Force One. One actually landed. The other one just sat there circling around like it was keeping an eye on the other one.
Whoa, that's crazy.
And so again, this is, like I said, you have witnesses that have seen this stuff. Plus, they told them to turn the radar dishes off right after Air Force One landed. So, I mean, you hear all these testimonies, you know, it's like there's just too much that really adds up. And it's like there's obviously something going on. What exactly that is, you know, anyone's guess. But we know that these things are demonic. You know, even when ufologists like Jacques Vallée as well as Whitley Strieber, you know, they talk about these things being demonic. And Carla Turner, even Nigel Kerner talking about how these things are all completely fascinated with the human soul. You got to ask yourself, you know, what are these things, and why are they so fascinated with the human soul, and why is all this really starting to explode and take off all of a sudden?
But why now?
What are they planning?
Probably because something big is coming down the pipe.
Everybody knows something big is coming.
They've been planning this for a long time.
There's a new whistleblower that has come out called Jacob Barber, and Jacob Barber talks about the egg-shaped craft that he was part of the retrieval program where they were retrieving these craft that had either been abandoned or crashed, different scenarios. But on one of the missions that he's talking about, he talks about how they hooked up this egg-shaped craft and they are taking it to a facility. What's very fascinating about this is he actually talks about while he was transporting, he didn't know if it was something, if it was the craft itself or something inside the craft, but he talks about something came upon him. Like, you know, like he actually used the words that he felt like he had been possessed. His words. We're going to play them here in a second. But he talks about this like it's almost some sort of a bliss, nirvana type scenario where he felt like the hand of God had touched him and it was the most beautiful thing he ever encountered. And this is the thing, is a lot of Christians don't realize, or even non-believers out there, they don't realize that, you know, the fallen angels and the devil, they can perform lying signs and wonders. Bible talks about this, that they can appear as an angel of light, you know, so it's like they can appear beautiful. To think otherwise is kind of nonsensical at this point, but, you know, it's rather fascinating that you have these people in these roles and these positions, and they are saying things like that, and all they keep doing is reconfirming a lot of the work that End Times Productions is doing, as well as myself.
They're evil spirits, you know.
They're evil.
They're evil.
Don't fall for it.
It's a trap.
And let's get a little bit into psionics as well as psychotronic weapons, because this all goes into the remote viewing program. So the remote viewing techniques were actually created out of Scientology. Who started Scientology? Well, Ron Hubbard started that. So you have individuals like Hal Puthoff as well as Ingo Swann. And both of these individuals were OT7s back in the days. Hal says that he left in the mid-70s. That's up for debate. Because there's a well-known attorney out there that is friends with Jesse Michels, and he's actually worked for the Church of Scientology, and he actually stated on camera that that he's still employed by Scientology, or he's still a member of Scientology. So I digress on that. But what is rather fascinating is that the techniques that they learned out of Scientology, that they honed, and what they are teaching the actual military, ENSCOM, which is, you know, part of the Department of Homeland Security and, you know, the Army, they were doing this remote viewing, and they were teaching people like Joseph McConnachal, so you have these individuals that are being taught something from a Satanist who taught his followers, and now they are teaching the military. So I just want to be very, very clear that this is all satanic. And so, you know, you can sugarcoat it however you want and try to say remote viewing is just astral projection. No, it's totally 100% satanic. And like I said, if it came from Aleister Crowley down to Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, and eventually through Hal Puthoff and Ingo Swann, then, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So, you know, it's satanic. But these techniques were used, and, you know, you see TV shows like Stranger Things. Well, that was 100% real as well. They used these techniques to create what they wanted. They wanted back in the day was psychic spies, where they could gather information at a distance. Well, that quickly morphed into something else, to where they were working on psychic assassins. So you have John B. Alexander, who worked alongside Robert Bigelow. He was actually there when Robert Bigelow purchased Skinwalker Ranch, as well as the Bradshaw Ranch. He purchased both of those at the same time. Gee, I wonder why. Couldn't be that they're both identical places, and a lot of the crazy, bizarre, cuckoo stuff is happening on both these places, where there's portals, cryptids, crafts, creatures, you name it. So anyways, John B. Alexander, here's another little interesting tidbit that a lot of people don't know. He was actually friends with Michael Aquino, who, if you're not familiar with, is another rather interesting individual who was part of the Temple of Set, was a Satanist, and also worked in the Army. And so him and John Alexander were friends, colleagues, friends for sure. And that John Alexander was not only there with Bigelow when he purchased these places, he actually worked for him. And he also, while he was working in the Army, was actively engaged in going down to South America and looking into, was dealing with shaman and, you know, magicians and so on. And they were working on creating what they call psychic assassins. So when you understand that what we are talking about currently here right now, this whole thing about psionics and psychotronic weapons and things of that nature, this goes all the way back to this, what I'm talking about, all this other stuff. So it's like, this has been going on for a very long time. Psionics is, you could think of that as current day remote viewing, and that they are using people that have special abilities to make contact with these entities and summon them or summon the craft. In fact, even one scenario where they were talking about, it's like he actually took over control of the craft. And while he actively had control of the craft, another craft appeared and started attacking that craft. And you can actually see it falling out of the sky. So we're going to put all this, that footage in here as well, and play some clips of some of the stuff that I'm talking about. Cause I want you to hear this stuff from the horse's mouth. It will mean that much more to you when you say, okay, this isn't just Chad saying this, that, you know, we actually have the other people verifying that what Chad is saying.
Look, there's an increasing suggestion, Marky, that there is a link between what we call UFOs, UAPs, and this whole issue of consciousness, telepathy, psychic phenomena. You might remember a few weeks ago we interviewed Yuri Geller, the alleged psychic on Reality Check,
yeah.
And he suggested that, contrary to what we've all been told, these skills, these psionic abilities, are real. And Dr. Lani is no idiot. He's a very, very well-respected scientist, some seniority in the world of all things, designing heat shields for space vehicles with NATO and other agencies in the EU. So this is not some lightweight scientist. And the good thing about it is that he's doing solid scientific work trying to measure the phenomenon that he says he's experiencing.
Interesting.
And he's doing that.
So it's very fascinating that they are talking about this. Even Ray Boucher, in the interview that we did with him, he started talking about the psychotronic weapons. And, you know, that ties in with the remote viewing as well, because they were using people that had these abilities, the remote viewing, along with technology to harm people from a distance as well. And so when you hear things like Savannah syndrome, you know, it's like, that's totally 100% real. I mean, it was happening back in the 70s, even Kissinger, in a memo, wrote that he knew that they were using psychotronic weapons against American embassies. You know, I guess I'll wind it down with this. I mean, I know that a lot of Christians out there, and, you know, even non-believers, they're like, well, I don't have to worry about this. If everything goes bad, I'm going to prep, and I'm going to flee and go up in the woods. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy. But keep in mind that, they have drones that fit in the palm of my hand, that have facial recognition, and that these things can be deployed from planes up above. They can drop them by the hundreds of thousands and the millions. And if your face is in that database of facial recognition, if one of them spots you, it'll fly right up and just explode and kill you. I'm not saying this for fear mongering. I'm just saying it's knowledge is power. And, you know, the Bible clearly talks about, you know, my sheep perish for lack of knowledge. So I'm just giving you the knowledge to know and understand these are the weapons that the enemy has and that they are actively using. And also, I'll even go further and talk about something that came out. It was technology that they were working on in the late 60s, but actually came out in the 70s in a committee hearing. In fact, it was Ted Kennedy who almost had a heart attack when they brought it up. Was something called Project Pandora, where they figured out if they used a microwave pulse that they could put monkeys to sleep. Why is that relevant? They actually did it in 2015. You can go look this article up. If you go look up 2015 city fell asleep, Kazakhstan, you can find the article. They actually used this weapon. They can use it for I think up to like 75 kilometers away. So that's pretty good distance. And they can knock out an entire city, everybody within a certain circumference, and you can read about that if you go look. In fact, I have videos on my YouTube page talking about Project Pandora. Go check them out. But, they actually put an entire city to sleep. And not only did they put them to sleep, they put them in comas. And some of these people that were asleep in comas for a couple of weeks, whenever they came out of them and woke up, they slipped back into comas and fell asleep again. That's how powerful this technology is. Why is that important? Well, you know, how can you run and hide if they knock you out? And wherever you're laying is where, you know, they can send in an army or a ground invasion and they can just come in and wipe you out. Not telling you this to fearmonger, but again, important to know what kind of weapons the enemy has and what weapons they will probably be using. Well, why is this important? Because we need to put our faith in God. I believe that the Lord will protect us and that he will look out, or he will look over us. We shouldn't be afraid of these things, but we should be aware of them. That is important. So put your trust in God. Know that he's got this. No matter how this goes down, how this ends, regardless, he's coming back. He's going to put an end to all the shenanigans, and we will get to reign with him for eternity. So if you found this, if this has blessed you in any way, shape, or form, please share, subscribe, like it. And again, go to my channel and, you know, subscribe to my channel and check out my videos and share and like them. We can't do this without you. But yeah, if you find it interesting, fascinating, or if you feel blessed by it, then, you know, please, by all means, you know, consider, supporting me, because this is a lot of work goes into this research, a lot of work and putting it all together. And, you know, that's one thing that me and Keith would really appreciate is, you know, any support you guys could help us with, you know, please, subscribe, share our videos. But yeah, you know, please support us if you are able to do so. And if you can't financially, we understand that. Keep us in your prayers, because we could really use your prayers. I mean, that's another thing about a lot of this is when you expose this dark, when you expose the enemy and the darkness, the attacks are going to come. And sometimes they can be brutal. You know, they come like tsunamis sometimes. So that's another thing. We need all the protection that we can get. So just, you know, keep us in prayer if you can. We appreciate everything that you guys do, and you're a part of this. I mean, we can't do this without you. And like I said, when you look into a lot of this kind of information and you're exposing darkness, the enemy is going to attack you. He's going to come at you hard. And sometimes it's like tidal waves. And I know that end times can agree with that. So yeah, but we thank you for everything. We love you guys, and God bless.